This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers. Welcome to another exciting podcast with the MFG Out Loud team. It's me, Ray, with Allison. And man, have we got a guest today. We have Mr. Kurt Anderson. And let me tell you a little bit about Kurt and what we're going to talk about today. I made some notes, so bear with me here. Kurt is the founder of B2B Tail, where he's the chief e-commerce evangelist for manufacturers. That's why he's here. He's a serial entrepreneur and an early B2B e-commerce practitioner. He's actually done the stuff we're going to talk about. And he's literally written the book on e-commerce strategy for manufacturers called Stop Being the Best Kept Secret, available now on Amazon. Kurt, you'll notice it is unsigned. So we'll have to work on that at some point. But as you're going to find out during our session today, Kurt is passionate about manufacturing. He's identified and mastered a new growth opportunity that manufacturers of all types and sizes can leverage. When Kurt's not helping clients, he's sharing phenomenal content on LinkedIn, wink, wink, making introductions, contributing to roundtable discussions, presenting webinars, or hanging out with the likes of Allison and I. So without much further ado, Kurt, welcome to Manufacturing Out Loud.
Jeez, Ray, I am so appreciative, and I told my wife if anything happens to me to contact you, you're going to write my eulogy or my obituary or all the above. So I'm honored. I couldn't sleep last night. I'm thrilled to be with you guys. I'm huge, huge fans of the show, as both of you know, and we're going to keep this on course. We're going to have a lot of fun. So thank you for this opportunity. It's been a privilege getting to know you, privilege getting to know Allison. Allison is just an absolute LinkedIn rock star. And right? For those, if you have new listeners coming on today for the first time, Allison is one of those people who can write a post. She has a rare, unique quality and talent of you find yourself, tears are hitting the keyboard because you're laughing so hard. And yet she's creative. She had a great post today. So, so thank you both. This is just an honor and privilege to be here.
No, so glad to have you. Allison, are you blushing?
Again, I can't say enough about LinkedIn because clearly, you know, I meet the most amazing people. And anybody who is part of this tribe that Kurt has, you know, I've never met anybody yet who had an ill word to say about you. Just people just love you, and you're having such an impact on the industry. So we are grateful to you. I'm really excited that we got to know each other and just really happy that you're on the show today. So thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled. And so if I could, I'm going to share. So here, I'd like to share something with your audience. So So the three of us are deeply passionate about helping manufacturers. I think that's our common bond. Right. So here's a quote I'd like to share. Staying relevant and profitable today requires three things: continuous self-disruption, reorganization, and strategic communications. Continuously innovating and keeping pace with how customers search, purchase, and share to avoid falling into the abyss of mediocrity, or God forbid extinction, manufacturers must do something they've always resisted in the past. This was written a couple years ago, and this is from the one and only Allison DeFord, the Trailblazer, wrote this. So she wrote this pre-COVID. Yeah. So this quote was so relevant 4 months ago or whenever this thing started, let alone today. So Allison, this was a quote that I borrowed from Allison, and Ray, thank you. I'm touched that you had the book. This quote is in the book, and I borrowed it from Allison. So it just, that's how we connected and resonated.
Yeah.
And you know, when you read her posts on a consistent basis, today was just awesome. She talks about, you know, her dedication to the customers, has your back, yeah. building that trust, just all those key words. And so anyway, so I just wanted to share that quote with you guys.
No, it's awesome stuff. You know, and the recurring theme here is kind of challenging your preconceived notions about yeah. things. And true story, we had, you know, we've been swapping LinkedIn stories and stuff back and forth for a while. We finally had a chance to have a conversation. And then I jumped on to a webinar that you were giving. And forgive me, I forget the organization, P80?
P80, correct.
P80 yes. yep. was yep. the organization yep. that had sponsored it. And I, you know, I'll be honest, I was one of those guys, e-commerce and manufacturing, I was kind of, maybe if you got a product. I had a lot of preconceived notions about what it was all about. But your enthusiasm, and it was like, I knew Kurt, and, you know, you had some cred, and it was like, I want to see what this guy's doing. So I jumped on that that webinar, and I bumped into three or four other people that we regularly engage with on LinkedIn. Damon Pastulkas was one. There were a couple others out there. But I came away from that presentation with a much different perspective and, more importantly, an enthusiasm for what an amazing lever B2B e-commerce can be for manufacturers. So if I had some preconceived notions, you must run into them all the time. Yeah. What do you see as like the biggest thing that most manufacturers don't really understand, but they think they get about e-commerce?
Well, I think if you're in e-commerce, and maybe, you know, you guys on your marketing acumen, maybe, you know, things obviously, you know, we're past cliche now, life has changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's certainly spearheaded, you know, for the, a lot of folks in manufacturing are digital immigrants. I'm certainly a digital immigrant, you know, you know, hit the trade shows, pound the pavement. You talk about the belly to belly salespeople. Well, obviously the past 4 months, all that has gone away. Sure. I think you're making a great point, Ray. I'll share a quick story. Here's a manufacturing situation where the misperception of e-commerce is, okay, I'm buying socks, or our teenagers are buying something or whatever. It's so much bigger and greater than that. So 5 years ago, I had a client, and I'll tell you, this is how this client became my client. Mm-hmm. So great manufacturer. I'm in upstate New York, and been around for a long time, and they do major weldments. And think of like portions of subway cars and Navy projects, 100 employees, just great, you know, old school manufacturer. They had a client years ago, this is 2015, they came to visit them, took a tour of the facility. They were completely blown away by the process, closed a deal. And their deals were, you know, you're talking, you know, again, smaller manufacturer, mid-size, if you will. And, you know, but you're talking six, seven figure projects that they would capture. They closed the deal. Guy was super excited, this new client. And he said, you know what, guys? He goes, I almost didn't come visit you because your website was that bad. So when you talk about the threat or the risk of losing a six to seven figure job or a big gig like that, just because, and this was 2015, they had a website, it was like from 2005 or whatever.
Wow.
And the president of the company, he was like, man, he goes, so I hooked him up with a local university. We brought in like we had some college kids do like a little, you know, kind of case study on their website, and we got a social media intern. So we did a lot of fun. And he was like, I didn't realize how old we were. Now think about this. And so any manufacturers out there, like you're saying, that might be skeptical. Mm-hmm. What if that happened in April of 2020? What if there's a buyer, an engineer, somebody at a major company in Wisconsin looking for a major weldment, you know, project like this, six to seven figure project, and they couldn't go to a trade show. They couldn't come visit this particular client. So when you think e-commerce, it's not just, oh, I'm buying a pair of socks or I'm going to buy something on Amazon. This is also, you know, what does this company look like? Like Allison today was talking about building that trust. If you have a poor website, how are you going to do a six or seven figure million dollar weldment project for me when you have a neglected website? It looks like your nephew did, you know, 10 years ago. So I think it's much, much greater than just the, you know, pulling out a credit card in the transaction.
Yeah.
It's, do we have an RFQ? Can we get that process, get the party started as fast as possible? Can we show our quality, our engineers, our staff, our expertise, our machinery, equipment. So it's so much greater than just, hey, let's have a transaction here. You know, so that's kind of how I sum that up.
You know what? You bring up an amazing point, and I would venture to guess that most manufacturers listening to this have never thought about e-commerce in this way. And I want to see what you two think about this. I think most of them think it's what you just said, right? You buy stuff on Amazon and they say, well, we're a manufacturing operation. We're, you know, we have a two-step distributor, you know, situation. E-commerce isn't for us. They don't understand that the word e-commerce, it's kind of like thinking of content as just words. Right? When we know on the marketing side, content is everything that you put out in social media, in print, across all your customer touch points. It's visuals, it's words, it's personality. Everything is content. And I think people have the same misconception about e-commerce. So they're limiting themselves, right? By having, we did the same thing. We had a client a couple of years ago and their website literally looked like their grandmother did it.
Right.
It was really, really bad. So we fixed it for them and created like a $200,000 amazing site that was just substance filled, right? So that it was more of an e-commerce platform now because people could come and they could do things on the site. They didn't necessarily order off the site, but they could, like you said, start the RFQ process, all kinds of downloadable forms, a library, learning center.
Right.
So how do you feel about that? Do you think most of them think of it?
Yeah. Phenomenal point, Allison. And so I'm going to share another story time, everybody. So Allison, both of you would have loved, so I'll refer back to another client I had a few years ago. Her and I are still tight. So women business owned enterprise here in New York. And she was in the defense industry and just one, I can't speak high enough about her. Her son's a Division I quarterback at Rutgers. She's just wonderful mother, wonderful person, and great businesswoman. And, you know, she's a woman, if you don't mind me saying, in a man's world selling defense products. And same thing, I knocked on her door. She tells a great story. Must have been her grandmother created her website as well originally. And we sat down and we spent a ton of time meticulously going through, she created this brand new website. And she brought a nice female touch into a heavy, you know, again, in the defense world and put out this great website and like, hey, let's see what happens. And man, sure enough, she lands a really five-figure gig within a few weeks, you know, paid more than paid for the website. We're ecstatic, home run. Couple months later, this is a great story. So there's a client who wasn't a client at the time. This gentleman was sitting on the couch pretending to watch the romantic comedy with his significant other for the evening while he's on his phone doing a search for this particular product. He finds my client, goes to her website. She landed a $400,000 gig just because she took the time and energy to go through her website. What I constantly like to preach, and like in the book that you referred to, Ray, I always talk about how can we help that client make a buying decision on Friday night at midnight without having to wait for us to open up our doors on Monday. How can we just put it out there, just put as much information, and like Allison, like you're saying, content. What was awesome, Ray, I had no clue Ray was going to jump on the webinar that we did a couple weeks ago. And I've incorporated you guys into, so I'm on a big speaking, anybody that wants, that's willing to listen to me talk, I'm on tour. And I put a slide on you guys and Chris from Manufacturing Happy Hour and the guys at Exit Your Way, because I think it's just so, I have to admit, I was bent on, I preach video. You know, I had an e-commerce business in the 2000s when YouTube came out. We were doing YouTube videos right off the bat, you know, like how-to videos, product. And we had no idea what we were doing. You could go online right now and find them. They look horrendous. They didn't cost us a penny to do it. We had hundreds of thousands of, you know, over time, hundreds of thousands of views just because we were educating our customers on how to do things. So I go in that webinar, I go through a workshop program on how to capture first page rankings on Google. And not only first page, how can you get number one? Not easy, but it is easier in a B2B space than a B2C space. What you guys have got me to change my mind on, it's not just the typed or, you know, when I say written, I guess I'm showing my age because now it's typed content. But in the blogging, the posting, wherever your tribe is at to be, the videos, the how-to, always been bullish on that. What you guys have got me on, this is content right here. You guys have introduced what I feel is just such a huge need. I view you guys as a necessity now in the manufacturing space. I would love every manufacturer to be catching your episodes. And Chris Lukey at Manufacturing Happy Hour, the guys at Exit Your Way up in Seattle, they're creating new content and building those communities for their clients now. And it's such a unique approach. So when we talk about that consistent content, it could be the written, the typed, it can be the verbal, like you're saying, Allison, the videos. So I think what you guys are doing, it would be great to see other manufacturers just emulating what you guys are bringing to the industry. I think it's just wonderful. You guys are pioneers, and I love it.
Wow.
Oh.
So when something happens to me, I will have my wife call you.
Dude, as soon as this whole COVID thing, we're gonna all get together. Right. So we'll meet in Chicago.
You know, here's and meet anywhere. You know what? Allison and I have been working on this thing, gosh, over a year now, right? Probably a year and a half. And as I look at it and reflect, I think today we're episode 19, mm-hmm. something like that. Awesome. That we're spinning out. And I look at how much, you know, I've learned. It's like I'm with you. I learn every day just either right. following Allison on LinkedIn or, right. you know, our weekly conversations or right. whatever. It's like, you know, she's the oracle on these things and welcomes input from others and just great dialogue. But having conversations, you know, with you and the other guests that we have, it's and I hope, because the reason we're here is for our audience and for our tribe, get that one thing. If you hear that one thing in the right. 28 or 30 minutes, however long we're on, that you can take back and go, you know, I never thought of it that way. Or right. you mean B2B e-commerce isn't digital yellow pages? It's more than that, you know, so it's that's what we're really trying to spark. So believe me, speaking for myself, I'm pretty sure for Allison too, we get a ton out of these exchanges too. So we don't do this for mutual admiration. We do it because we're selfish about wanting to learn and share, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, that's amazing that we were, Ray and I were talking about this earlier. Your book is called, you know, Stop Being the Best Kept Secret. And I've physically had manufacturers say that to me numerous times when I said, so tell me, you know, we were starting together and I'd say, so tell me about your operation. Tell me about your brand. You know, how do people feel about you? And they would lean across the table in all seriousness and say, we're pretty much the best kept secret in where their niche is. Right. And look at them like, okay, well, we need to remedy that. So I think that you calling the book what you did makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think one question I had is, again, I think this goes with the misconceptions. What kind of staffing and expertise is required to support an e-commerce effort? Because I think people either underestimate what it takes or they really aren't sure. And so they kind of, it ends up in the that's not a priority right now pile.
Correct. Yeah. Boy, that is a loaded question. And you and I, same page. That's where I got the title is and the thing is, it was how many businesses from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, that was the mantra. You know, somebody built up, you know, somebody had a problem to solve and didn't like maybe the company they were at. And so they opened up their own or took over a parent's or somehow they got in business. and, you know, trade shows, word of mouth, whatever, maybe. And here's the biggest challenge with manufacturing. If I think the NAM, the National Association of Manufacturers, 75% of all manufacturers are 20 employees or less. Mm-hmm. And that's really what all small business, you know, that's a majority of small businesses. Very few get into the Fortune 500, you know, the IPOs and da da da. Most of manufacturing is, you know, a mom and pop business, 20 employees or a custom job shop. In a book I talk about, you know, I call it the job shop blues. 50, 60, 70% of our sales is with that one client. And at no fault of our own, or what happened, COVID happens, 2008 happens, internet bubble in 99, you know, something happens where we go down and now we're caught vulnerable. Where e-commerce comes in, it helps you diversify. I can't tell you how many times clients will discover new industries, new customers, just by tipping their toe. And I found like there's no greater means that is more effective, more efficient to experiment with a new market, a new product, than with e-commerce. Now, to specifically answer your question, Allison, it is challenging when you have a mom-and-pop shop of 20 people and everybody has multiple hats on, and the HR person is the bookkeeper, is the accountant, and the president is the janitor, is the, you know, 10 other things. So it's hard to have that the internal champion, and then a lot of times you have, well, this is how we've always done it. You know, that could be our next book, is Stop Being the Best Kept Secret, and this is how we've always done it. So teaming up with an Allison, teaming up with a Ray, teaming up with, you know, the local, you're going to find somebody. There's enough e-commerce activity out there now that it is, you know, I can find a good CPA, I can find a good attorney. In your community, odds are you're going to find somebody that has e-commerce experience, or get on LinkedIn. Get on LinkedIn, find your tribe, find the Allisons, find the Rays. Connect with those, you know, I would love to talk to you, or, you know, an e-commerce consultant. It's challenging for those people that have the limited resources. Ray made a fantastic point. Ray, I used to, so in the 2000s, you know, I started an e-commerce business in 95. I mean, like that, and just makes me feel super old. You know, there was no Google. There was no social media. There was no experts on the street to tell you, this is how you do it. It was just, you know, I could do an entire workshop on all my mistakes, all my failures. There were thousands. And I used to go to conferences. As soon as e-commerce conferences started, or search engine conferences started coming out, I'd go to Silicon Valley. I'd go to Chicago. I'd go to Manhattan, wherever there was a conference, and, if, you know, spend thousands of dollars on travel. And you hit it on the head, right? If I could walk away with like one nugget that I could take home and apply that, where now I can go online, you can go to Teachable, you can go to Udemy and get classes, you can go to LinkedIn, you can go to workshops, it's YouTube, there's everything's out there. Allison, again, referring to awesome post today, finding that person that you trust and resonate with, that you feel has your back and can help you through that journey. There's enough of e-commerce gurus out there now to help you, and you have to overcome that resistance. You have to change the mindset, and again, it's not just the e-commerce transaction. Last thing I'll say in the book, I have a chapter. It's called "Treat Your Shop, Your Manufacturing Facility Like a 5-Star Resort." You know, we're in COVID. We can't go anywhere. You can't go see customers. Your customers don't want your salespeople coming in right now. Mm-hmm. We have to bring our businesses. We have to bring our facility to the customer. Right. So if the three of us were planning a trip, we're going to check out the hotel. Does it have a workout facility? What's a restaurant? What's local? How's a bed? Well, if your customer is a Boeing engineer looking for your product, your process, and they don't know you exist, boy, put it out there. Because even if you're like, hey, I have this little greasy machine shop. Yeah, but you know what? You are a 5-star resort to that Boeing engineer who has a problem right this minute and needs it solved. So I don't care how small or not insecure, but you know, you don't feel that your place is, you know, that you want to flaunt it, man, flaunt it. Just put it out there, because you've been in business for a reason. So sorry for my diatribe.
No, that's great insights. And I think that resonates. You brought up with the majority of businesses are less than 20 employees. what's the, you know, the holy grail for a lot of people in manufacturing is to get even what they call kind of the mid-market, less than 500 employees. Yeah. I think at last count, there's like 310,000 of those, yeah, you know, in the U.S. So the, yeah, the upside's massive. The, you quoted a B2B number as far as where B2B e-commerce, oh, yeah, is headed. And yeah, it was an astronomical figure. And if I say it, nobody will believe, yeah, me. You're the, yep, expert. What was, yep, you know, well, what I'm talking about?
I plagiarized.
That's all right.
So and actually, so I'll share two stats with you. This blew my mind. Yeah. So the stat that Ray's referring to, it was a, I believe it was Forrester. Well, the gun in my head. I believe it was Forrester. As a matter of fact, I'm reading Brian Beck's book right now. If any of your listeners right now, if you're not familiar with Brian Beck, he has a phenomenal book, $1 Billion B2B E-commerce, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading that right now. And he actually referenced a similar quote that you're talking about. B2B e-commerce, if I have my numbers straight, manufactured goods in the United States was $6 trillion last year. $6 trillion U.S. manufactured goods. So congratulations to you guys, everybody that contributes to that phenomenal number. So when people say manufacturing is dead, boy, we hit it at $6 trillion, and hopefully that's still growing. Mm-hmm. Of that $6 trillion, $356 billion, still a huge number, but $356 billion was distributed, executed, or executed through via e-commerce. Mm-hmm. $356 billion of $6 trillion is less than 6%. Yeah. That means that there is an upside potential of 94% of B2B e-commerce. Now, to put that in perspective, if e-commerce grew double digits, say 20% for the next 10 years, you still wouldn't even hit 20% of all manufactured goods through e-commerce. On the retail side, 15% of all retail goods are distributed via e-commerce. Mm-hmm. So there's an 80, I mean, like, we're in the baby stages. Yeah. And keep this in mind, e-commerce grew 49% just in April. Wow. So I know I threw a lot of stats at you. Yeah. So forget all the numbers. Get into e-commerce. That's the get into e-commerce. Just, yeah, get in the game.
It's huge.
Well, massive.
What type of business do you think is best suited for e-commerce? I feel like you've already answered that, but I think some people, like I said before, think, well, that's not for us. You know, we're not suited to that.
You know, I'm being an e-commerce guy, and, you know, I guess how I make a living. Maybe the local pizza shop, or, you know, what are some, you know, some ice cream shop, or, you know, businesses that are still face-to-face. I mean, your local ice cream shop or pizza shop are still aggressive on social media, or they're creating a digital presence somehow. On the manufactured side, and I'll give examples. So I was just talking, or I think your last guest was Damon. I was talking to Damon up at Exit Your Way. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, again, how do you make it as easy as possible for your customer to buy? And we were talking about different examples. Manufacturing could be the custom manufacturer versus the OEM, mm-hmm, the original equipment manufacturer. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're the OEM, it's a little bit easier to distribute that product on e-commerce because you have a finished good. When you're a custom manufacturer, it's a little bit more challenging. So maybe that would kind of resonate with what you're talking about, Allison. However, what Ray was talking about, this webinar that I do and in the book, I'm very, very bullish. I feel that there's kind of a new concept for custom manufacturers, and I call it, how do you scale your proprietary process? Every custom manufacturer has a proprietary process. What I mean by that is they have the machinery, the equipment, the raw material, the knowledge, the experience. Somebody's been running that machine for years. They're the rock star. So they have a proprietary process. The challenge is, they're the best kept secret. Nobody knows that they do that other than typically the one or two customers that are 50-60% of their sales, and that's how they do that process. So what they try to do is they want to, you know, hey, what do you guys do? What's a key word for you guys? Or what's a key word? And I'm, well, what do you guys do? What are you best at? Well, we're a CNC operator. Well, if I try to target market CNC operator, nobody's going to find us on Google. It's too broad. It's like shoes or flowers or something, restaurant. You're just too broad. You're not going to be found. But when you talk to that entrepreneur or business owner long enough, all of a sudden you find out, well, they're the CNC operator for a specific part that goes in a Boeing plane. You know, like all of a sudden you find like a 5-word keyword. If you're in search, you know what I'm talking, you know, long tail keyword. And all of a sudden you're like, bingo, that's what we want to attack. So instead of, you know, spinning on wheels and going nowhere on this long tail or on a broad term like CNC operator or, you know, whatever you are, you know, you bend metal, you cut steel, whatever you do, when you go deep into what you specifically do, now we can dig into that process. So, and then what Ray was talking about, I go into this whole thing about I'm very bullish on creating a configurator on your website where somebody can land on your website and they can actually go through a process and you could almost create an instant quote. That's a whole nother process. To answer your question, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't need e-commerce with that tribe. So anyway, that's my preach.
That's awesome. That is awesome. The webinar was fantastic. The book has some phenomenal information and insights in there. I'm pretty sure we're going to have more than one conversation. Gosh, I think there's an entire conversation about that scaling your proprietary process.
Yes.
that I think is a lever within the lever in the e-commerce side. And I know you're doing some fascinating work there. So Allison, any other questions for our guests today?
No, I think I'll save it for another episode. I think we could do a whole series for small manufacturers. So
no kidding.
Let's just dangle that carrot and, I'll just let you do the wrap up and then we'll,
That's awesome. Kurt, you did not disappoint. We're so thrilled to have you here today. My recommendation is your book should be an audio book because I think listening to that on the way to work is going to get somebody so motivated to get things going. So with all of that said, to all of our guests and our tribe, new members and old friends, if you like what you're hearing, tell somebody about it. Please like and follow us. We've got all kinds of cool stuff that'll be showing up in the show notes. You'll know how to find Kurt, look into his company, where to find the book, and some of the other links. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have Kurt back with us again real soon. So with all of that said, Kurt, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your insights with us today. It means a lot to us and our listeners. And for all of our listeners out there, remember, keep manufacturing out loud. We're so glad you hung out with us. We need you. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, this was an honor. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. And listen to Manufacturing Out Loud. This is great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.